Please pray with me. Guide us, O God, by your word and spirit, so that we may see clearly the way to follow you and have the courage to live by your truth, revealed in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Long before broadcasting referred to radio and television, broadcasting described the way seeds were planted. Handfuls of seeds were scattered, broadcast across the field. For countless generations, this was the way that farmers planted their crops. The people who gather around Jesus to hear the stories he tells, they're familiar with broadcasting. They've seen it done, they've probably done it themselves. It's as familiar to them as the back of their hands. So Jesus takes this very familiar action and uses it as a conversation starter. He's trying to get the world and the crowd to see things in a new way. I think he's trying to get you and me to see things in a new way. Yes, it's all so familiar to the people listening to Jesus. The farmer broadcasts the seeds. Some fall on the path, the hard path the farmer has walked time and again through the field. Some seeds fall among the rocks that are, so it seems, almost everywhere. Some seeds fall among the thorns. Everyone listening knows that this happens. They all know that much of the seed goes to waste. Too bad. That's life. That's the way it is when you farm. But everyone also knows that some seeds fall in good, rich soil and grow up tall and straight and yield an abundant harvest. They know that this happens. They may not know how or why, but they know it's a mystery. Yet like us, they're glad, so glad when the harvest comes, so glad that they give God thanks and rejoice together. They're just happy to have enough to eat. For a moment now, let's put that story aside and hear another story. This story concerns a young anthropologist named Connie. Connie works among Aboriginal people in Australia. And the community where Connie lives and works has a rich tradition of storytelling. Everyone gathers at night after the work is done. Everyone gathers, a story is told, then another story is told, and yet another. Connie feels extraordinarily privileged when she's asked to join in the activity of her people. The first story told that night is about the animal ancestor of this community, about its adventures at the beginning of time. The story overflows with detail, action, and imagery. At the end of the story, Connie is delighted and can hardly wait to speak. "May I ask a question?" she says enthusiastically. "What does it mean?" Suddenly she feels all the eyes are upon her. The elder looks at her gravely and says, "That's the one question you cannot ask." A long time passes before Connie is invited again. She's asked the wrong question. What does it mean? I wonder if that was the wrong question for Connie to ask about the Aboriginal myth. Might it also be the wrong question for us to ask about Jesus' parables? It might be the wrong question to ask about any of Jesus' stories. What does it mean is the wrong question if we think that by having an answer we can somehow get a handle on the story. It might be the wrong question to ask if we think that by having an answer we can somehow domesticate this story and make it safe. The stories Jesus tells are not subject to our control. He tells these stories so that we can be transformed. He tells these stories not so that we can ask questions about them, but so that the stories can ask questions about us. Today's story of broadcasting seed with details so familiar to the crowd who came to hear Jesus seems to me to ask us these two questions. What kind of soil are you? And what kind of sower are you? What kind of soil are you? What kind of soil am I? The tricky part is that from moment to moment, any of us can be any of the four soils that the story describes. For the sower is ever going forth to sow, broadcasting the seed. And whenever someone's spirit is touched and aroused, that spirit has found a place to grow. What kind of soil are you? What kind of soil am I? Sometimes my mind is utterly conventional, restricted by training and habit. The crust of custom remains unbroken. I avoid the pain of a new idea and a new commitment. I forget nothing old and I learn nothing new. My fixation of the mind obstructs even the good will of God. I am a path made hard and bare by many feet, where the seed falls in vain, only to be picked up by bandit birds and carried off. What kind of soil am I? Sometimes my mind is soft, shallow, and sentimental. There's emotion, but not action. There's indulgence, but no obligation. My mind is eager, but unstable, and so nothing grows for long. The shallow soil of sentimentality and the hard rocks of cynicism conspire together to prevent roots from reaching out and reaching down. The brilliant sunlight of reality burns away my fantasies, for in me there's no depth, in me no place to grow. What kind of soil are you? What kind of soil am I? Sometimes my mind is preoccupied, absorbed by the medley of the world, cluttered with its trash, incapable of observation, reflection, and prayer. The hectic dance of activity, the endless tumult of events, leaves me without mental seriousness. The capacity to engage is sustained. The deepest, finest powers of my nature are injured. The growth that could be is choked off, strangled by weeds of 100 species. The conventional mind, the shallow, sentimental mind, the preoccupied mind. Mercifully, there are times when I'm none of these, but am instead a rich, fertile, welcoming soil, a soil that accepts the scattered seed and produces a crop. When I am such soil, then my task is to be patient, because we all know that growth takes time. Too much digging about, too much interference with the prospering seed may delete or delay the harvest. But at other times, there's a need for introspection. Then I may well ask myself, how can I be more than a hard-beaten path? What are the stones in my soul that prevent me from having depth? Where are the weeds in my life that threaten to choke whatever grows? What kind of soil are we? Sometimes we are a rich soil that brings forth bountiful gain. When this happens, when my attention can move from the soil to the seed, that seed which sprouts may come to me through the glory of the rising sun, the splatter of waves upon the shore, or the multitude and silence of the stars at night. That seed which sprouts may come to me through some other human being, a person whose true example warms my heart and quickens my will, whose patience and good humor make me capable of the same. That seed which sprouts may come to me through the community of faith, right here in worship, as we respond to Scripture and sacrament, as we participate in a living tradition and welcome the ministry that other Christians offer to us. That seed which sprouts comes to me always through the mercy and the action of God, but most readily it comes when I open myself to God's perfect gift of Christ in Jesus, God's self. And when that seed sprouts, then I can be aware of how that seed continues to be broadcast, even at times when I'm not a soil where it can prosper. Divine generosity is imprudent, uncalculating, concerned with something more than outcome. Always and everywhere, the sower goes out to sow, casting the seeds of new opportunity and new possibility in every direction. Friends, let us not hear the stories of Jesus in simply one way. He tells them in order to get the conversation started. Today's story asks us, what kind of soil are you? But it also asks, what kind of sower are you? Not only are God's actions seeds that are scattered, but our actions, done in the name of God, also scatter seeds. Each of us is meant to stride the fields of life, broadcasting seed, doing actions great and small, but doing them in the name of God with the divine harvest in mind. It matters not whether what you do is something great in the eyes of the world, for any human deed is a frail thing. What matters is whether your action is a seed, something that, if it lands in welcoming soil, can yield a rich harvest. So let's remember, whether you put a Band-Aid on a child's skin knee or endow a hospital, whether you take soup to a sick neighbor or friend or establish a food bank, whether you come to worship to draw close to God, or you find yourself closest to God when you're with a sick and lonely friend, you are doing what we all must do, striding through the days of your life, broadcasting the seed of God's love and purpose, broadcasting seed that will take root in hospitable soil and yield a harvest of kindness, of justice, of new opportunity, a harvest beyond your imagining. What kind of soil will we be? What kind of sower? Let anyone with ears listen. Thanks be to God.